Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the last Auto Central show of 2020, South Africa's number one motoring podcast, powered by autotrader.co.za. And I'm joined by my co-host, as usual, Wandile Sishi.
How's it going, George? How's it going?
Yeah, good. Yeah. And my name is George Mini, and we're going to take you out of 2020.
Yeah, we're going to drive off into the sunset, as they would say. On this final episode, it makes me sad, but
not really. I want to see the back of 2020.
I don't like
2020 is. It's been a year of learning. Let's put the positive spin on it.
It has. It's really been a year of learning. I think that everyone has learned something.
Exactly. If you haven't, where have you been stuck? Lockdown level 5.
Lockdown level 0. Who knows?
Well, where can the listeners find us? Let's start off with that.
So you can obviously always find us on cliffcentral.com every Monday at 9, and that's where you can listen to just the audio if you're into that sort of thing. But if you also like the visuals, then we're also on YouTube streaming at the same time, simulcast.
At AutoTrader SA,
that's correct.
Yep.
And afterwards, you can also find us on Spotify as well as iTunes Music. If you just want to re-listen to a show or download,
go and hit the subscribe button, go and hit the bell icon, and subscribe, because we try and make this show fun for you as South Africa's number one motoring marketplace, autotrader.co.za. What did I say? I did say that. Yes, I think
you did say that, yeah.
Okay. Is it autotrader.co.za or is it autotrader.co.za?
I always say .co.za. Okay. That's just a personal preference.
It's so much easier with .com.
It is.
This .co.za. Anyway, it's South Africa, and we've got to embrace it as .co.za. Anyway, nonetheless, 2020 will go down in history as one of the most disruptive and strange years that we've probably ever experienced in our lifetimes.
Definitely the most in my lifetime, for sure.
Yeah. No, definitely in my lifetime too. I mean, the 2008 financial crisis was bad. This was worse.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, 10 then, so.
Yeah. This global pandemic is something that only a person who is over the age of 100 might have experienced before. Mm. If you think of the flu epidemic back in the early 1900s.
That's probably the only time you would have had something remotely the same.
Exactly. So this goes down in history as
100%.
You know, we're going to be telling our kids about this.
I can't wait for my kids.
Do you remember when?
Back in my day.
Yeah. Whoa, you do that so well. Humans have won, though, and it's a year that has taught us a lot, as we said in the beginning, in the automotive industry and car shoppers in general. I think we've compressed a lot of things that would have come in future years that have come early. It's almost like Christmas has come early.
Yeah, no.
For things like online search, automotive digital retailing, and those things. So we're going to give you a bit of summary, right?
Yeah, I mean, just off the cuff, my personal experience within the industry, I've seen it completely change. I haven't been here for that long, but in just this year alone, it's been just really interesting to see how everyone's kind of mobilized and ensured that the industry doesn't die,
exactly,
and that people can still have mobility. In different things, I think everyone's kind of done, but you know, it's kind of cool to see that we adapted to what was happening.
Well, I mean, I suppose in a situation like this, you've got one of two options.
Yeah,
crawl up into a hole and do nothing,
and then
it's going to be bad. Yeah. Or we flipping fight our way out of the hole.
And we fought. Yeah.
And we fought. And I think, you know, the entire industry pulled together during this pandemic this year.
Yeah.
And it was good to see. It was really, really good to see and feel. And, you know, it doesn't mean that normal business kind of contact sport doesn't continue, but it was really, really good to see. I mean, personally, how did this year affect you, Wandy?
So the big thing is I don't stay with my parents, so I didn't see them for months. And, you know, obviously the virus impacted some of my family members, which wasn't fun. But it's also the year that I started studying. And, you know, there was a few positives that came out of that, you know, remote learning does give you flexibility, especially because I was also working full time. I got a new place as well. Some of the markets did some things that were positive, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just
well, interest rates are at all time low, so exactly that's a positive.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, I think it's overall it was things were happening at the same time, and I had to kind of evolve and make sure that it doesn't negatively impact me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had people around me to just kind of push me and show me things, which was great.
Awesome stuff. Well, yeah. I mean, for me, the year has definitely been as tough as it's been exciting.
Yeah.
You know, got time to spend with the family, some quality time.
Definitely,
and,
yeah.
You know, but on the flip side, I didn't see my parents for months.
Yeah.
And, the fear that at their age, you know, something was going to overcome them. You know, when it comes to this virus, you know, that was one of my biggest fears was something was going to happen to my parents or their parents.
Yeah.
You know, and touch wood, unfortunately, like nothing has gone south. But
you also had the Auto Trader family that you ultimately were in charge of. People, including myself, were looking up to you to be like, hey, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Everyone was just asking questions like, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to you know, the market, so we're going to be fine. And I think that adds, I can't even imagine how much pressure that put on you.
Well, it was an interesting time. And I think a different kind of pressure and stress because, you know, a handful of people in the business contracted COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, very, very sadly, you know, there's been one or two unfortunate passings away of not our staff, but of extended families of Auto Trader. So, you know, spouses or parents or grandparents. Yeah. And it was sad. It was, you know, so it was tough to navigate.
It was.
But I think under the circumstances, we did okay.
Yeah.
We did okay.
Definitely.
I mean, from your perspective, how do you think Auto Trader fared during this time?
So we are a digital business, and I think that has had such a massive, depending on what industry you're in, I think this would have impacted you differently.
Yeah.
And us being digital, I think, added some new layers, which we were prepared for, fortunately. I don't think we're prepared for COVID, but we're prepared for anything or the world moving into a digital space. So from providing consumers with shopping tools, which assist them, I think we were completely prepared for it.
Well, we're a fully fledged digital business coming into COVID, right? So, so we already had the digitization and the systems to do it. I mean, the only thing we missed was seeing each other in the office.
Exactly.
Seeing each other on screens every day, which was a massive change, massive change, but we've navigated it.
Yeah.
And it fortunately gave us the opportunity, I guess. To close our commercial magazine, which was the last one left. I mean, we were planning on shutting that magazine at the end of 2020 anyway.
Yeah.
And that was just fast tracked.
Yeah.
And we just decided going into lockdown, coming out of lockdown, we're not going to print it again.
You have to find opportunities, right? In everything that's happening. And I think we were really agile and quick to kind of do that.
And we've seen the results. Yeah. I mean,
the way
consumers have come online. But let's talk about the six most important trends that we know about in the automotive industry. What is trend number one?
So the biggest trend, which the one that I actually foresaw happening, was people, I think because we're forced really more than anything else, people moving from a brick and mortar system of going traditional and going into the dealership to doing lots of that sort of activities online. I think we've been forced to dealerships have been forced to kind of catalyze the system of going online.
Yeah.
Something that you refer to as the automotive digital retailing sort of process or concept. So that's the first one.
I mean, I suppose, we were, as we said just now, we were already an online business.
Yeah.
But dealerships aren't. Dealerships are pretty much bricks and mortar. You know, and then suddenly lockdown hits and consumers can't visit dealerships anymore, but they have needs.
Exactly.
And those needs range from having to sell their car because they're in financial trouble, wanting to sell their car because they were planning to anyway, wanting to upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, some people want to start a business.
Yes, want to start a business, buy a bucky, downgrade. Yeah. So lockdown didn't cause the sudden grinding halt of consumer buying or shopping. Mm. But suddenly dealers found themselves in a place where consumers didn't want to come to the dealership or couldn't come to the dealership.
Mm. They still wanted cars.
But they still wanted cars. Yeah. Yes, they wanted to trade cars for whatever reason to give life to whatever they needed to do, their lifestyles. In all of that, we saw what kind of growth rates in visitors to our
literally
to our
every single month plus 40%.
Plus 40. We hit over 50 in 1 month.
Yeah.
And it hasn't stopped. I mean, November, we saw another 45% in growth. And it's so you might say to yourself, well, you know, we've seen growth in our website, traffic. You know, but how many of those are actually buying cars? I've had that, you know, like some knuckleheads ask that question. Mm. But at the end of the day, it has not translated into nothing. It's translated into high levels of inquiry growth to car dealers and high levels of cars being sold. Mm. You know, so we're touching on 30% increases.
Yeah.
Literally month after month after month. In inquiries, increases in inquiries to car sellers.
Yeah,
which means that all of that engagement and people doing stuff online are translating into value.
Yeah, I think people are waiting to pull the trigger, and I think we shouldn't forget that buying a car for a lot of people is not like a today I'm going to buy a car. It's a process.
It's a process. Yes.
So what are we seeing now?
Do you think it's being compressed in lockdown?
I don't think it's I think it's being accelerated even.
Yeah.
I think people are realizing, oh snap, when I come out of this lockdown situation or this COVID situation, I want to pull the trigger then. So what we're seeing now
You're talking about level four, right? Because level three, people were buying cars.
Yeah, but I'm talking about even now, this level, well, people saying that sales aren't, you know, at the level that they used to be at. I think they forgetting that what we're seeing now is going to translate into sales later. And it's still exciting, and I think for dealers, this is your chance to kind of be seen.
Well, I mean, I think what we're seeing is not sales happening later. Sales are occurring. It's just dealers are battling to get their hands on good clean stock, good clean cars, because consumers are just buying them. You know, we're seeing these massive amounts of growth in traffic and conversion. Those dealers who are saying what you're proposing, they're not doing.
Yeah,
they're not working the system properly.
That's what we hear, right?
Yeah.
To kind of give off all these secrets.
So what is this whole concept of Vision Zero?
It's, you know, when the year started, I didn't really have any feelings towards EVs. Let me just start by saying that.
You were not an EV fan.
I was not an EV fan at all. But over the year, I've been fed so much more information with regards to the benefits of it and spoken to a lot of people who have been pushing for EVs, including
myself. Did I convert you?
I wouldn't say convert, but I'm definitely a lot more open to it. And I think that's what's happening as a result of COVID, as people are seeing sustainability as this big concept that we need to start pushing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, like, I am so excited because I'm a massive EV fan. And what I've found is that the petrol heads have quietened down a little bit because I think they see the writing on the wall, which we've been preaching for the last 2 to 3 years. So the petrol heads have quietened down a little bit. And I think the petrol heads are a very small portion of the market, because our recent study showed that 68% of consumers
want
an EV in the next 5 years.
Exactly.
So EV is coming.
They got, whether we like it or not.
Whether we like it or not. Yeah. But anyway, that's not what I'm excited about. It is what I'm excited about, but I'm excited about a different thing. Yesterday, Wandy.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Literally yesterday.
This is an exclusive. I haven't heard this.
You haven't heard this. Yeah. No, you haven't heard this. Yesterday, I flicked the switch on Eskom.
What do you mean you flicked the switch on Eskom? Did you go off the grid?
I'm off the grid.
No ways.
I'm off the grid. My house is no longer dependent.
What are you using? Solar?
Solar.
Wow.
So, you know, if I want to talk the talk, I've got to walk the walk.
And now What's the next step?
It's next step. It's electric car. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone.
Our little secret.
So literally.
So you're going this Vision Zero concept. You're really buying into it wholeheartedly.
You know, those who talk about it must do it.
Of course.
It's my opinion. Course. You know,
agree,
do it.
Agree.
So anyway, so Vision Zero. What is the next concept that that you're seeing?
So the next concept is from ownership to usership. I don't think it's the African concept yet. I think we're still kind of getting into it, but I don't think it's going to become popular yet.
Yeah.
And that's the idea of leasing or using a subscription service to drive or to travel rather.
Okay. And usership, is that still a thing of the future? Maybe it will become it, but I mean, we've seen this trend towards personal mobility. People,
and that's
so that's not really usership, right?
I wouldn't say so.
Yeah. So the principle of usership really is in the context of personal mobility, then has to become like renting a car, using a Uber, Lyft,
like a
ride-hailing service, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's what you're referring to.
Exactly. And, you know, I think, like you're saying, personal mobility has become a lot more popular now.
So it's usership under the banner of personal mobility, not usership under the banner of shared mobility.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And then the next one is this idea of enhanced user experiences, something that I think maybe is coming now into motoring, but it's been around for ages. Mm. We've seen it in pretty much every single industry that people want experiences. Even if it's just going from A to B or buying a car or whatever it is.
I read a quote the other day that says people don't buy products and goods.
Yeah.
People buy relationships, experiences.
Precisely.
And stories.
Precisely. And if you don't do that, you're going to be lost.
Yeah.
And then the next one is this digital sixth sense. So we've seen lots of LiDAR sort of technology coming to the forefront. The fourth industrial revolution allowing for 5G and cars to be connected to everything that's around us.
Well, this is all the Internet of Things. Everything
exactly.
communicating with everything else.
Exactly.
You know, your fridge and washing machine communicating with your car.
Yeah.
So when you drive into your driveway, the fridge can say to the washing machine, oh shit, I better start.
Precisely.
The boss is home.
Yeah. And it's exciting. It's exciting. I think for consumers and just people in general,
yeah.
having that sort of, simplicity helps. It's scary, but it's fun. It's fun to think of. It's fun to fantasize about it being a reality.
And I'm very interested in this next piece called greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So that is the totality of the entire driving and automotive experience.
So you're not buying a car for one feature.
No.
You're buying a car for the entire package.
Because,
cars are becoming an appliance, really.
Yeah,
and you're buying it for the experience, the holistic experience inside the car, not for one thing.
That's always been my view of a car. I don't buy a car because of a specific feature. I don't buy it for a specific function.
Mm.
It needs to make me smile. I need to feel like...
I like that. The experience.
Yeah. I love having to go and buy some milk. I love traveling. I love seeing family. I love the idea that a car brings to me. That's why I'm in this game. It's why I love F1 so much. It's why everything about automotive is just a fun experience for me. And I think a lot of people are seeing cars as not just this A to B thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose in summary, it's been a flipping crazy year, it's given us a platform to learn and evolve. I think that's the bottom line. And you know, I'm looking so forward to 2021 and what's going to happen next. We are rearing to go. There is lots of innovation in the pipeline for Autotrader and I think for the automotive industry and market as a whole. Yeah. I am looking like we're all going to take a bit of a break, but I'm looking forward to 2021 and hopefully it's not COVID or a second or third wave.
Yeah.
You know, do that. But I think that brings us to a car that, or a brand that's searched for mostly on our website, which is the BMW. But in this particular instance, the BMW X6 M50i. And we've got one of our expert journalists, motoring journalists here with us today to come and discuss the BMW X6 M50i. Let's get Martin Pretorius in and give him a chance to tell us about this car.
Sounds good. Sounds good. How are you doing? So are we going to make him appear again, or what's the plan?
Should we beam him in?
I think so.
Should we?
Yeah.
How?
I'll let you do it.
You let me do it?
Yeah, you're the driving.
Let's go. 1, 2.
Dude. Hey, Martin, how are you?
Did you come out of your living room? Did we beam you out?
It was a bit of a nice surprise to see you guys again.
Yeah. Welcome, Martin. It's nice to see you. Yeah, so we're here to talk about the BMW X6 M50i. I suppose that my first comment is I'm surprised it's not the BMW X6 M50d.
Yeah. This is the second most powerful one of the lot.
Is the D the more powerful one?
No. The petrol is the M50i is the second most powerful one. Okay. There's an even crazier one on top of that. It's called the X6M.
Oh, yep. So the more letters it loses, the faster it gets.
Correct. That's a very good observation.
Okay, so tell us about this BMW. And
well, this is the third generation X6.
Yeah.
They've kept the same basic concept as they maintained for the first and second generations, except that for the third time around, the X6 M50i is almost as powerful as the first generation X6M was.
Okay.
And it's actually quicker.
Oh, wow. What have they changed?
More power. BMW just seems
just engine output.
Yeah, BMW just seems to conjure up more and more and more and more power.
But is the engine displacement bigger, or are they just getting more power out of the same power unit?
More power out of the same power unit, wow.
I've actually seen a drag race of, it was actually the X6M, I think it was going up against the new Cayenne.
Mm-hmm.
And I was presently surprised, and the RSQ8s, and I was presently surprised at just how quick these things are going now.
Well, just gauging on that X6 M50i, it's ballistic.
What is 0 to 100?
4.3 seconds.
Wow.
The previous X6 M was 4.2.
Yeah.
So the full fat one from the previous generation is only slightly quicker than the second from the top. So imagine how hellaciously quick that X6 M will be.
Flipping hell. Insane. Well, That's really, really, really quick. What kinds of people would drive this car? What does it cost? Let's first go there.
Well, before options, about 1.85 million. Okay.
So realistically, it's a 2 million rand car.
Realistically, it's a 2 million rand car, especially when you start adding options, of which this test car had about 180,000 rands worth. So it was more than 2 million.
Yeah.
But it's a bargain because the full fat X6M is almost 900,000 more expensive.
Close to before 3 million.
Yeah.
Okay, and so is this an everyday driver's car? Can you if you have 2 million rand to spend, okay, could you take this car and say, okay, I've got a family SUV, and I've got a bit of a sports car?
Yes,
is it that good?
It's that good. This poor X6M 50i had a bit of a drawback because it followed directly on the BMW M8 competition I had just before that, which is lighter and even more powerful.
The 10 out of 10 car.
That was the 10 out of 10 car. coming from that base,
the comparability is not it's
exactly,
not
the same, but in its own right, it's a highly, highly agreeable car. It's extremely rapid. There's always more power available, and it's practical enough. Believe it or not, in spite of the coupe-like body shape,
which I hate.
Well, the jury's out on that. About half.
Does it reduce the reduce the interior size that coupe?
Slightly, but not as much as you'd think.
Okay,
It's still a big car, so you can still fit three average sized people in the back, and two lanky ones, and still have plenty of boot space as well.
Why would you get this over like the X5 M50?
Because you're more of an extrovert. That's literally the only reason. It's more of an extroverted car due to its styling, that coupe look. Let's call it the coupe look. And it has.
Well, the reason for that is, would you say it's making a statement?
It's making more of a statement. Yeah.
South Africans love it, though. I've seen that South Africans absolutely love it.
Yeah, and same applies to the X4. It's basically an X3 in a fancy dress. So the X5 dressed in a fancy dress becomes the X6.
Okay.
But it has the same virtues, the same innate goodness. It's a really, really enjoyable car.
Yeah.
I think I almost enjoyed it its relaxed nature compared to the M8.
Any additional fancy electronic features, driver aids inside?
Well, this car came loaded with all the options. So adaptive cruise control and lane keeping assistance and traffic jam assistance and head-up display. And
any new ones from BMW in this car?
No, it's basically the same normal BMW fare.
Have they enhanced any of the features, or is it just the tech that's just stayed the same?
It's all enhanced compared to the previous generation X6, but it's the same as you'd find in today's X5 or, for that matter, the M8.
Yeah.
X7. Same. Okay. It's quite interesting. I've personally never been a fan of the X6s, but
they grew on me.
Yeah,
I also didn't like the coupe boot style. I thought, you want an SUV, but you're cutting half of it off. It's almost like halfway to a bucky, but it's actually grown on me because when you look at that car parked next to other cars, it is so big.
The presence is there.
It's huge.
It has significant presence. And I think for you who've never liked the X6 styling, the new one will actually look better because they've added some creases and folds and things to the side view.
A waistline.
Yeah, to the waistline, and they've reshaped the lights and the grill and so on to actually make it look less chunky than before.
I like chunky. I just didn't like the boot. I'm keen to see this car. So, when is your review of the car up? Was it up already?
It's up already.
Up already.
It's
up already. So go to autotrader.co.za and go to news and reviews and go and read Martin's review of the BMW M50i or BMW, sorry, X6 M50i. And so Martin, out of 10, what would you give this car?
I'd give this car 9.
9?
Yes.
Okay. So
because it's a lot cheaper than the full-fat X6M.
Okay.
It's almost as quick. It's almost as powerful. Well, not really. It still needs 70 kilowatts. Mm. But it has a very nice balanced spread of abilities. And at the price, compared to the opposition, it's actually not badly priced either.
So there you have it. 9 out of 10. Any of these on Auto Trader yet?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
They are. First, second, and third generation ones, but I see third generation ones are making their way through to the used market already.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Yes. So you know, if we want to save 200,000, go look at a used
one. Go look at a used one or a nearly new one. So should we teleport Martin back to his living room?
I think so.
It hurts.
Okay. All right, take that off. You don't want to pull your head off on the way. So you don't want that cable in front of you.
See you soon, Martin.
I'm ready.
let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Damn.
Just like that.
Back in his living room.
Very interesting car.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting car. I've always liked BMW. Mm-hmm. Question we forgot to ask Martin, as a matter of fact, is electric variants. So, maybe we can get that answer onto social media. Definitely. So, every day people send Auto Trader some motoring related questions. And as a matter of fact, Martin helps us to answer some of these questions. Our motoring journalists do a good job to try and decipher the code that people write, and to try and answer their questions. But we get questions all the time. And so Wandy and I will now attempt to answer some of the burning questions from you. And Wandy, who's the first question from?
So a very good question, something that has come up quite a few times. But the first question is from Zamore. And they're asking, they're saying that their name has been cleared. It's a new year and they're really just looking to get a car. So he wants to know that from his current salary of 15,000 Rand, will he qualify to get a car now that his name is cleared?
As in like cleared from debt review or from having a bad blacklisting credit. All right. So, I mean, I suppose it's, the market likes to do business with people that have that they know they're going to get the money back from. So the fact that you have been blacklisted or you have been had a bad credit rating, it doesn't always have to live with you. No. As long as you clear your debt, you got to pay that debt back. Number one, and you got to clear your name. And it takes months to do that. It takes months to clear your name. And so I suppose the principle is now that your name's cleared, you will more than likely qualify for car finance. But you probably have to get a few things behind you, and that you need to show that you manage your debt responsibly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What does that mean? You're gonna have to open some clothing accounts. Mm. Low interest clothing accounts. Make sure that you manage the payments on those accounts regularly. You know, and after a couple of months, you will have built up a credit score.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't get your name cleared and then
get some more debts
and get some more heavy debt like a car. Yeah. The bank lending you the money is going to say, well, how have you proven?
Exactly. I think it's in your best interest.
It's in your best interest.
It gets a bit cheaper.
Yeah, go and show that you can pay things every month, and don't skip anything, don't be late. And then you build trust, you know, and your poor credit history doesn't have to follow you forever.
Exactly, yeah.
As long as you have a change of heart. Not paying people is not great. Don't do it. You know.
Okay, next question's from, I think it's a gentleman named Uza, and they're asking, your cars are so expensive compared to other South African dealerships. Why is this so? I actually picked this question specifically to see your reaction.
Uza, China. We do not sell cars.
No.
Auto Trader is a marketplace. We do not sell cars. That being said, we are not a dealership. We do not sell cars.
That's correct.
We help people buy and sell cars. That's what we do. Okay. Yeah. So in the context of that, we don't control the price lists. We don't control the prices of the cars.
Mm-hmm.
We give advice on the pricing of the cars because we sit on tens of millions of searches. How many million? We have 50 million searches a month, right?
Yeah, it's around that number.
50 million searches a month. So, and we're at scale when it comes to supply. So we've got, over close to 80,000 vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
On Auto Trader, across every make, model, variant, body type, and type of vehicle. Mm-hmm. So across all of these cars, you'll be able to find something in your price bracket.
100%.
And prices of cars fluctuate depending on demand. That's what makes car prices fluctuate. So a 2017 Hyundai today, just because we go into 2021. A second-hand 2020 Hyundai doesn't mean that the price of that car will necessarily go down. If demand goes up, what's going to happen to the price of the car?
If demand goes up, the price is going to go a little bit up.
Exactly.
As well, yeah.
Exactly. So demand and supply are the biggest drivers of the economic principle of price. So the prices that you're looking at are as a result of your fellow consumers really being after the car that you're after. That's why the prices are high. It's not Auto Trader.
Yeah.
We don't set the prices.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, dude.
Last question's from Solly. And Solly will be visiting South Africa for 3 months. So they want to know if they can still purchase a car despite not being a South African resident.
Well, first of all, welcome to South Africa, Solly. I hope you have a good time in the sunny South Africa, and spend lots of your foreign currency here, please. Yeah, good idea. We welcome it. We'll give you the best service ever. But buying a car as a non-citizen is difficult. The paperwork entailed is extremely onerous. You can imagine, you've got to buy a car and you've got to tell the South African authorities that you're good for the money. So you've got to provide proof of residence, proof of financial statements, and the local authorities, it's not going to be easy to do. I would advise get a family member or a business associate locally to buy the car.
Yeah.
Alternatively, rent one. There are a lot of creative rental options out there. So rent one. It's gonna be difficult for a non-resident to buy a car. It's not so impossible, but it's difficult.
It happens. I think people have done it many times before. I have a cousin who did it not long ago, but about 2 years ago. So it's very possible.
Okay. Well, I suppose we're out of time, Wandile Sishi.
It's time. It's time for us to drive off.
It is time. Yeah. So that has been awesome. Last show of the year. My name is George Mini, and as always, joined by the none other than the Wandile Sishi.
Yeah.
Cheers to 2020, Wandi.
Sounds good.